See everybody here. Appreciate the brethren cooperating and using the mic that we can all hear. And also we appreciate parents for bringing the small children and the older children, that the children may become used to worshiping and attending services and being with the family in that way. And I believe if we stick to that and keep trying to make that an effort, that we will have fond memories in when we get older, if the Lord allows us to get older. You can have fond memories that you did, what one of the things that you could do in bringing children to worship and to Bible class and to be with God's people. And that can be, that will have an effect not only on your memory, but hopefully on our children as they continue to grow and hopefully one day become Christians. So let's keep that in mind. And don't worry if we have things that we need to, that we may think are problems, we can always overcome those with patience and have a desire to continue to do what is right. Should we have instruments of music in our worship? We have a piano right there. Where is it? There. Meeting in the school, there is a piano there. But we will not be using it in this worship or hopefully any other worship. But the question is why? It's always a controversial matter when we study these subjects. There are many today right next door to us. There will be the instrument starting up in just a few minutes in the name of the Lord. They will do it. And yet this subject often causes controversy. If we disagree on this subject, then we're not going to be able to worship together, because those who believe that it's unscriptural are not to have the instrument are not going to be able to worship with those who believe that it is scriptural. But if there is disagreement on the answer to this question, then it's going to lead to division, as we just said. But why do we not use instruments in our worship? Is it because we have something against instruments? We could just say that God is silent in the New Testament about using instruments in worship, and that would be accurate. But in our lesson, we want to go a little further. We want to, in this short lesson, study the Old Testament background of music and worship. Put that alongside the New Testament instructions that are given regarding singing and worship. And then we're going to ask, what is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Why do we not see instruments in the New Testament as far as our worship services compared to the Old? It's reasonable to conclude that if God wanted us to use instruments in worship today, then we would find an example or a command or a necessary conclusion that would tell us that this would be the way that we should follow. But why the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament? Well, with humility and honesty. Let's review this for ourselves today, and whoever may be listening to this in time in the future, please honestly look and see what these passages speak about, and hopefully let us unite together on the truth that the Lord has given about this subject. In our lesson today, the Old Testament authorized instruments in worship. The New Testament is silent about instruments in worship. Why the difference? That is our simple lesson that we have in mind this morning. It's not only designed to help us be stronger in what we believe and why we believe it, but to help us teach others, as some of us have been deceived. I know my wife came from instrumental music background. Some of you came from instrumental music background in worship. So it is a common thing among those who claim to follow the Lord Jesus that there would be instruments. But are there scriptures that tell us that there should be instruments? Let's look at it. In the Old Testament, there's little information before the time of David about music and about worship, but we'll just read a couple of passages that give us an idea of what the New Testament says. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21, in Genesis 4:21, his brother's name was Jabal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. So the first mention of instruments that we have is a man called Jabal. Don't have hardly anything else said in the New Testament until we come to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20, when the children of Israel were brought miraculously out of Egypt by the parting of the Red Sea. They crossed over in the dry land. God drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, but they were brought out of the land of Egypt by the power of God. There was Miriam in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. Miriam, who was the sister of Moses, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took this timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and his rider," she said, "he has hurled into the sea." So it was a celebration of victory that God had brought them out, redeemed them from slavery, and brought them out, and the Egyptian army had been destroyed. And they did that with instruments. But then during the time of David, we have instructions that are given that the Lord commanded a pattern to David. And that is a set of commands that should be followed for the arranging of musical instruments in the tabernacle, that the tent of meeting, and later on the temple that would be built by his son Solomon. That would be conducted by a certain part of the Levites, the descendants of Levi and Aaron and so forth. The instruments would be associated with the law of Moses, the divinely designated place of worship, the tabernacle, then the temple. The priesthood of Aaron, in this case, the Levitical priesthood, and animal sacrifices. All of these would be related, fit together with the instruments of music that would be used. But note in our example that we'll read that they played until the offering was finished. That is, we're going to read that these instruments were connected with the animal sacrifices that were offered. When the animal sacrifices were finished offered, then they stopped playing the instruments of music. That's an interesting point that we'll mention in just a moment. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 25, during the days of Hezekiah, about 300 years after David, King Hezekiah made up his mind to lead the people back to doing what is right, and he therefore referred back to what David had been commanded to do in relation to worship, that they get back to God's pattern that had been given instead of following idolatrous pattern or whatever they wanted. In 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 25, he then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, and with the lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad the king's seer and of Nathan the prophet, for the command was from the Lord through his prophets. This wasn't just David's opinion or David's idea or David's tradition. These commands that were given through the prophets to David were from the Lord. And so it was an absolute necessity that they follow these commands, and that the people who were, the men who were designated to play these types of instruments and what they were to play, when they were to play them and where they were to play them, that that all be followed according to the commandment, not according to what they had in mind. Verse 26, the Levites stood with the musical instruments of David, and the priest with the trumpets. And then verse 27, then Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offerings on the altar. When the burnt offerings began, the song to the Lord also began, with the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. Notice, when they started to make the animal sacrifices, then the instruments started to play. And as they were burning the sacrifices, the instruments continued to play along with the singing. But then notice verse 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 28, and a friend of the brother who preached here last summer pointed this out to me and reminded me of this, and I checked it and confirmed it in the Word of God and confirm it to you today, that there's a significance to the order in which they played the instruments and what happened in verse 28. While the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang, and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when the burnt offering was finished, then they simply sang without the instrument. Without the instruments. When the sacrifices had been made, verse 29, now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshipped. But it doesn't say anything about the instruments there, does it? The instruments were played until the sacrifices were offered, and then they simply sang without the instruments. And so there we have a brief summary of the Old Testament worship, that these were commanded to be done at a certain time during the worship. When the sacrifices were offered, they were commanded of certain designated Levites to do that, and specific types of instruments that were to be used in the tabernacle and eventually the temple when it was built. But what do we have in the New Testament? Well, we're going to go over these quickly in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, we read of singing, but no mention of mechanical instruments in worship. We just don't see anything in the New Testament. We'll get to why in the last part of our lesson. But look at these passages from the New Testament. Let me point this out first. The only mention of instruments in the New Testament that I know about is in Revelation, and Revelation is filled with figurative language, and we'll get to that in a minute, and when we try to start making the figurative literal and the literal figurative, we're running into problems. We'll get to that in a minute. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, I'll just read one of these because they're parallel passages that we have them both listed in Matthew and Mark. The last night of our Lord's life upon the earth before he died for our sins. Matthew 26 and verse 30, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. But notice what all of these passages have in common as we read them in the New Testament regarding singing and worship. Acts 16, verse 25, the Apostle Paul and Silas imprisoned in Philippi, having done nothing wrong. But what did they do in prison? They didn't complain, didn't feel sorry for themselves, didn't follow the sinful ways of the prisoners. Acts 16 and verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Romans 15 and verse 9. Romans 15 and verse 9. And for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. So far we've only got singing that is happening. No mention of instruments of any type whatsoever. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, what is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the mind also. Still, no mention of instrument. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. But no mention of instruments, but singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Singing, singing, singing. It just keeps repeating, doesn't it? Hebrews 2 and verse 12. Hebrews 2 and verse 12, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15, through him. Through him, he says, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice, not of an animal, not of an instrument, but a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips, that give thanks to his name. Still no mention of an instrument. And then James 5 and verse 13, James 5 and verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. But no mention of an instrument. The only passage that I know of that puts instruments or gives an idea of instrument connected with praise and worship is in Revelation chapter 5, and verse 8. Revelation 5 and verse 8. But notice what it says. Revelation 5 and verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Were they holding little incense? No. It says the incense that they were holding in those bowls were the prayers of the saints. That was the incense. Were they holding little harps? I don't know. I would be very careful about making a statement about the harps or anything else, since we know that the incense was a symbol for the prayers of the saints. Very careful. And whatever they were doing in Revelation 5 and verse 8 still does not tell us what we should be doing on the earth, does it? In regard to singing and worship. The only word, clear word that we have is the passages that we read previously from the New Testament. Sing, 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 making melody with your heart, but nowhere is an instrument mentioned that we are to play. And if there were, don't you think the Lord would tell us what instruments to play? Surely. But we have no word on it except to sing. The New Testament is silent about instruments in worship. The New Testament worship is spiritual in nature, produced by the heart and the lips, not by machinery, not by instruments, not by physical instruments, but by the human heart and human voice and lips. We must not use the Old Testament pattern of worship to establish anything regarding how we should worship, because the authority that we look for today must come from the New Testament, from the apostles' teaching. If we believe we are authorized to use instruments in worship today, then we must have a positive word from the New Testament, and we just don't have that word from the New Testament. In the last part of this lesson, very important part, I want to note why the difference is between the Old Testament and the New. If you will bear with me, I won't waste any time making the points that we have in mind. Why the difference between the Old and the New regarding instruments? The Jewish system of animal sacrifices, Levitical priesthood, and temple worship, including the instruments, was taken away by the New Covenant. The New Covenant replaced the Old Covenant because there was a need for a perfect priest to come, not by Levi, but Melchizedek, and that was Jesus, offering a perfect sacrifice himself, not an animal sacrifice, which could never take away sins. He offered a sacrifice in heaven, not on the earth, and he offered it once, not a multitude of times, his own blood, brought into the most holy place in heaven. The worship and service focus on the spiritual, not the physical today. It doesn't matter where we worship, but it matters how we worship and who we worship. To seek authority for instruments from the Old Testament is going to obligate us to do all the worship of the Old Testament. If we're going to take one thing, then we're going to have to take all of it, and we will have a scripture to bear that out. In the last part of our lesson, notice these points with me. Our worship is spiritual, not related to the physical. We don't need hardly any physical thing to worship the Lord Jesus. It is simple spiritual worship that focuses on Him and focuses on what He would have us do. It's simple acts of worship. No elaborate physical actions are commanded. John 4 and verse 23. In John 4 and verse 23, that an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Such people the Father seeks to be, He says, His worshipers. God is spirit. Can't see Him. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And when we have the instruments, we're focusing on the physical. What sounds good to us? What makes a good sound? We don't have the command to do that in the New Testament. When the change of priesthood happens and Jesus, the perfect priest, replaced the Levitical priesthood, the Aaron's priesthood, then there had to be a change in law that must take place. A law that was based upon a new priesthood and new sacrifice in the Lord Jesus, His own blood, that would be the new covenant. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11, Hebrews 7:11, now if the perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? If the law of Moses had been perfect, there would be no need for a perfect priest and perfect sacrifice, but it wasn't. It had too many flaws, and God was always going to take that away, to take the old covenant away when the time of the Lord came, when Jesus came to offer the perfect sacrifice for all. Verse 12. But when the priesthood is changed of necessity, there takes place a change of law also. Was the priesthood changed? Yes. Jesus became the perfect high priest, and so was the law changed? Yes. The old covenant was superseded by the new covenant. That is the apostles' teaching. The old covenant is different in character than the new covenant, providing true forgiveness of sins based upon the blood of Jesus, that perfect sacrifice and perfect priesthood. Hebrews 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people, he says. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me from the least to the greatest of them. They will be taught about the Lord, because they must learn to obey the Lord, repent, and be baptized. It's not going to depend on being circumcised when you were a baby, if you were a man, a male child. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. That would be the new covenant. Verse 13, when he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete, the law of Moses and the worship involved in it. Sacrifices, priesthood, temple, instruments, all of it. The circumcision, but whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. The old covenant was taken away and replaced by the new, based upon better promises, a better priesthood, a better sacrifice. And so we don't go back and pick up the old worship of physical instruments and a physical priesthood and a physical temple. We have a spiritual priest, spiritual sacrifice, and spiritual worship. And again, notice what we read earlier. They played until the animal sacrifice was offered. Folks, we don't have any more animal sacrifices. We don't have any more instruments in worship. We don't have any special players of instruments of worship, whether they be Levites or anybody else. We have a spiritual worship that involves the command to sing from the heart. That's what the Lord has given, and that's what we should use, we should practice, and be thankful for. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 28. Again, 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 28. While the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang, and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. That is, they played until the burnt offering was finished. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worship. So that was after the instruments had stopped, the offerings had been made there in verse 30. Can't we see the difference clearly between the Old Testament and the New? Why do we want to go back and put upon people what was taken out of the way and replaced by a better priest sacrifice and worship that we find contained in the apostles' teaching? What we have is Jesus has offered his perfect sacrifice once and for all so that we might be saved. The old worship, including instruments, has been taken out of the way along with the old priesthood. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, as we're beginning to draw our lesson to a close. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. By this we have been sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. The sacrifice that we offer today in our worship, based upon Jesus' perfect one-time only sacrifice, is the sacrifice of our lips in praise to God, and there is no need or command that is to be accompanied by physical instruments of music of any type. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. This is the sacrifice that we are to offer, not a piano, a trumpet, a trombone, a tuba, a harp, or anything else, a guitar, whatever. That's something that has come out of our own thinking, out of our own reasoning, but it cannot be confirmed by a direct New Testament example or command or necessary conclusion. If we're going to go back to the law of Moses to get instruments, and that's where we have to go, then let's get circumcision, and let's get it all, because we're obligated to follow it all. In Galatians chapter 5, as we draw this lesson to a close now, Galatians 5 and verse 3, and I testify, Paul says, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision, that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. If you're going to go back and require circumcision in order for Christians to be saved, then you've got to require the whole law of Moses. The priests, the temple, the sacrifices, the animals, the instruments, all of it. Can't you see what's going backwards? That's going backwards to that which God has already taken out of the way. That's the law of Moses served its purpose and has been taken out of the way along with the instruments and worship. Verse 4, along with the Sabbath and along with all of it. Verse 4, Galatians 5, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Those who say they believe in grace are those who are going back to get the Old Testament instruments, or get the idea of instruments in worship. And they are nullifying grace because they are going back to the Old Covenant that has already been taken away. We have a perfect priest who has offered a perfect sacrifice that we might be saved, that we might repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ. And then upon repenting, that we might abide in the apostles' teaching, worshiping in spirit and in truth, using our voice and our lips to sing praises and edify one another through his word, but not to bring instruments, that we can only get authority for that from the old law. It is not required, commanded by the Lord. Why should we submit to the commands of men who want to bring it in? Give it up if you have been inclined to do that. Leave it behind. It's not authorized. Just like anything else you would be willing to leave behind. You say, well, I love to hear those instruments. Well, my wife grew up with those instruments. Others of you grew up with those instruments. Surely we love to hear the sound of those instruments. Surely there have been those who have loved it for years. But that does not make it right. That does not make it right. That does not make it authorized. And if the Lord says it's not out, that we are not to do it, that we are just to sing, and we love the Lord as we should, then we won't have any problem giving that up and just being content with what the Lord has said. Just sing. And praise his name in hymns and songs, psalms and spiritual songs. Let's just stay with that. And those of us who have already become Christians, and we have repented and been baptized, let us turn from our sins. Let us acknowledge our sins. Let us not deceive ourselves and our rebellion against God, that it is acceptable. Let's turn and confess our sins, and let's be willing to repent, that we might continue in the Lord's service and be an influence to others as we live. Those of you who are not Christians, let's be willing to repent and be baptized, trusting in the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins and was raised from the dead, that he might raise us up to newness of life, forgiveness of our sins. If there is anyone subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come and accept his invitation, not man's invitation, accept his invitation as we stand and as we sing. Won't you come? Number 347 will be our song. Let us stand and let us sing.
Jesus, thank you for the high.